Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. DC Cut 90 to 60, Rodney Chow, Tape 2, Side A.
Rodney, have you yourself ever thought about going back to China?
Yes,
very
definitely. Every one of us back in those days had thought of going back to China because we have never felt that we were Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And we never felt we were Americans because there was a very deep hatred for the people who were Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
The hatred was thrown on us and it was reciprocated back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we never referred to ourselves as Americans, we referred to ourselves as Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And even though many of us had difficulty speaking Chinese, we could speak Chinese but not as well,
mm-hmm.
we always said we would go to China.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back to China.
And do you know how old you were at
that time? As far back as I can remember, all the way up through junior high school, up
mm-hmm.
through World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The thought was that way, and remember, always talk about someday there'll be a yellow and white war.
Hmm. And this is when you say we, you're talking about
the whole
yourself.
Neighborhood used to think
right.
this way.
Okay.
That someday
mm-hmm.
There will be a war between a white race and a yellow race,
mm-hmm.
and whoever loses is going to be annihilated.
Now there's
that's the way the thought was back in those days,
uh-huh.
and it was the very deep rooted feelings,
mm-hmm.
and even when I went to work at the flood control,
mm-hmm.
by that time my feelings have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of myself as American by this
mm-hmm.
time, you see. But the old timers used to say to me, when you're going back to China?
Mm. And what did you say?
But the answer was, how can I go back to some place where I've never been from?
Uh-huh.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And but that was the old guard
mm-hmm.
that finally retired, you see.
Uh-huh.
So those, there were very deep-seated feelings back in those days.
Now, did any of your friends, you know, or your peer group ever go back to China, so to speak?
Everybody wanted to go back.
No, I mean, did anybody actually go back?
Oh, yes, there's some who went back.
Some who were living in your neighborhood have gone.
By that time, World War II started in 1941,
mm-hmm.
you
uh-huh.
say. But, like I said, that one group that were brought back, they
uh-huh.
went back to China.
But they've not gone returned.
No. But then World War II brought changes in attitudes, and World War II brought in a complete change toward the treatment of Oriental people,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese people, and then, of course, I think a lot of the change in the treatment toward Oriental people, although the Chinese would like to take credit for it, I believe, in my own view, that it was earned not by the Chinese people, but by the Japanese.
That respect
for Orientals
uh-huh.
was really earned by the Japanese people because of the way they fought in the army during World War II under the 444,
mm-hmm.
and the way they carried on the return without a chip on their shoulder. Although they had a chip on their
mm-hmm.
shoulder, it wasn't expressed,
mm-hmm.
and they recovered.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Chinese, I don't think, will
mm-hmm.
express the feeling that way, but I think it did, and also feel that a lot of the credit, I would say 75 to 80% of the
mm-hmm.
credit belongs to the black people, not
mm-hmm.
the Chinese. The black people in their struggle for equality
mm-hmm.
made it good for all the Orientals.
Mm-hmm.
The Orientals at that time were too afraid to express themselves and too afraid to align themselves with those people because they thought that they would be knocked down and never given a chance to get up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chinese benefited by all these things by being in the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were talking about the Japanese, I just wanted to ask, how about the feeling, you know, about the Chinese and the Japanese then? What did you find? What the difference before the war and
before the war, they were bullies.
Mm-hmm.
They used to push us around.
Uh-huh.
Some of them.
Uh-huh.
And quite a few of them.
Uh-huh.
And then there were also some who were friends with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that December 7th was a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and Monday we went back to school, and a lot of the Japanese were telling everybody they were Chinese.
Oh.
And I could also remember the time when we all wore badges.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, to distinguish ourselves between Japanese and Chinese, and there was a big discussion as, should it be Chinese American or American Chinese? What is it? You know, how do you call yourself?
Uh-huh.
Like, and so finally it was decided it should have been Chinese American because that's the adjective.
Mm-hmm. I see. So then, after World War II started, then most of you, then these Japanese friends of yours then were left.
Yeah, they left, and then I didn't see them again until they came out of the relocation camps, and they were very careful, very cautious when they came back.
Mm-hmm.
But they reestablished themselves very fast.
Were any, I mean, did you maintain any contact with any of them at all?
No, I was too young to have, it would happen in, when I was in the 7th grade, and I didn't see them again until I was in the 11th grade.
I see. And so since then, these were old friends then who used to be in the same grade school. These were different ones.
Some of them were old friends, and then made new acquaintances.
But the attitude towards the Chinese then at that
changed
completely then.
Oh yeah, it changed. There was no more than bullying attitude, and at that time I was going around with a couple of Japanese girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it didn't make any difference.
Uh huh. I see. Okay. Now has. Have you ever thought of going to China, say, for a visit? Or
I'd love to go there for a visit.
You haven't gone then?
I'd love to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. To go back to the village where your parents or your grandparents came from at all?
Well, I would mainly like to go. I would like to meet my wife's parents, meet relatives. See, my wife is from China.
I see. Now, so she still has relatives there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is your wife also Jungsan?
No, she's from Nanking.
Oh, I see. So, now has she learned how to speak the Cantonese dialect?
No, but she can understand a little bit of it.
I see. So, how was she able to converse with your mother? Well, in English, I take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Now, you mentioned earlier, you know, that your mother has, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what year was that?
That was last year.
I see.
No, the year before.
How old was she at that time?
73.
And did you follow Chinese customs and, funeral arrangements?
No.
How did your, has your father ever expressed any feeling about, you know, what type of funeral arrangements?
I don't think my father understands those customs that well.
I see. So he hasn't said anything about that?
He left everything up to me.
I see.
And I didn't understand it one bit.
Okay. No. Do your children speak Chinese at all?
Unfortunately, not one word.
Have you ever thought that, you know, that, have they ever expressed, you know, any desire to learn to speak Chinese?
No.
They haven't?
No.
So since then you have lived in this, I guess this is the West LA area.
Yeah.
So have your children ever encountered discrimination?
No, I don't think so.
How about your wife?
My wife was brought over here by a Caucasian family who adopted her.
I see.
So I don't think she really had any encounters like that.
Now, what is your thinking about the Chinese, you know, Chinese Americans or the Chinese population in America? Have you ever thought about our future here? Or?
Well, I think that the bulk of the Chinese is still too traditional and too conservative and unwilling to open up himself. I think that a lot of them are still a little bit too cautious, but I think that the Chinese that doesn't have any of these handicaps can go very far, because when I opened up my business, I went into an area that has no Chinese whatsoever, and all my business 100% is from the white population. Have no trouble whatsoever getting jobs, and my business is operated on an unlisted telephone. Everything is by referrals. I have no problem whatsoever.
That's marvelous. Congratulations on that.
See, the thing is that you must, my clients and people that work with me have told me that, geez, I don't even feel like I'm talking to an Oriental. You see, because as long as I don't express or have that feeling of, about it, I talk to them just as if they were, I was one of them. And I argue with them and I tell them off or whatever comes in my mind. And I think like them. So there, I think that the average Oriental, until he gets himself in that position, he will have to limit himself, his business and whatever, to the Chinese population.
I see. Now, do you follow Chinese traditions or Chinese customs in any way?
Well, we love the food, so we follow the yutbyungs and those things, you know. Oh yeah, definitely. Oh yes.
Oh good. Now, how about do you yourself think that do you ever find, you know, that when you're in the company of your Caucasian friends, do they ever ask you about Chinese things, Chinese customs, or, you know, turn the subject onto your background, so to speak?
They not only do that, sometimes I volunteer it. I'm always willing to tell them anything I know, the good and the bad, and same as I'm talking here on this on this recorder here, and I talk about the bad times just as well as the good times, and the main thing I do is that I don't know, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm not ashamed of it one bit, and it doesn't hinder me one bit at all. And they will always, many times they're asking, well, you know, of course you're an American. So I'm very well accepted in well, my business is mostly in the North County area.
I see. So have you ever joined, other than in your youth when you belonged to a Chinese club, or, you know, when you were attending college, have you joined Chinese American organizations?
Yes. Oh,
which
Chinese clubs?
Which Chinese clubs?
The Chinese clubs in the school.
Oh, I see. But other than those, I meant, since you left college.
Well, the Chinese, back in those days, they had a couple clubs, and the I never was a part of them, because I don't like people who try to become elite, you say, and I don't like people to segregate among themselves, and you know, that's like a fraternal organization where then you can just say, I am so much better, you see. So I stayed away from those things. And I stayed away from that type of people and that type of organization. So I never joined them. There's a group called a Guardsmen, and they looked at themselves as being very elite among the Chinese group. And then there was the Cathay group, club in Chinatown. I just don't like those kind of things.
Well, so you belong to other organizations, mostly because of business or?
I belong to an association in Lancaster.
Mm-hmm. What association is that?
The Professional Association in Lancaster.
I see.
It's all the engineering and surveying companies.
Mm-hmm.
We have an association out there.
Oh, so that takes up, besides your business, that takes up some of your business-oriented interests.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Well, I certainly have enjoyed this very much. I really thank you for it. Okay. Now. Mr. Chow, I just have a few more questions to ask.
All right.
Because what you said, you know, was so interesting about your family. I just wanted to, you know, go over the education, you know, of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said your mother and her brother came when your mother was 9 years old, right?
Yes.
Your mother was born in China.
Mm-hmm.
So what year was that when your mother came here?
I think it was around... I'll find out. Just one second.
All right.
She came in February 5th, 1924.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that she had, she went to school here for a short while.
Yes.
Right?
She went up, she had only up to a ninth grade education.
Okay. And then in the meantime, your grandfather had about four more children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did any of them finish school, or, you know?
Oh, yeah. My uncle is, he's a professor of hematology.
Mm-hmm.
In the University of California Medical School.
And he's an M.D.?
He's an M.D. and also a full professor.
Uh-huh. Now, how about the other?
He's a developer. He builds, he's been building subdivisions up north, plus industrial buildings.
Uh-huh.
He has his own company.
Oh, he's an architect? Or
no,
he's just a contractor.
He's just a contractor,
uh-huh.
but he builds his own,
uh-huh.
He builds his own buildings.
Right. So then how about the other, let's see.
The oldest one, of course, my mother and her brother. My mother's
right.
The oldest one,
and the
second one.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have the privilege of having a good education.
Mm-hmm.
So the oldest uncle, he just worked as a warehouseman,
mm-hmm.
and he's now retired on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
He had the hardest time because he had no education,
mm-hmm.
and also he grew up in a time when. And Orientals had a very hard time finding jobs, so
mm-hmm.
so he just he was inheriting from CC camp to
mm-hmm.
Working in the March Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and then he didn't really get any kind of a break
mm-hmm.
until World War II when he
mm-hmm.
volunteered for the army and then
mm-hmm.
got his citizenship,
mm-hmm.
but then by that time he was too old, so he never was able to amount to anything.
Oh, how about the other brothers?
Well, there's two other brothers. Right. One is a professor, and the other is a developer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there were just four.
Just three boys.
Oh, three boys and one.
And three girls.
Oh, I see. How about the other two girls?
The other two girls.
Did they get their education?
They got their high school education,
uh-huh.
and they just married and
mm-hmm.
Became a housewife. That's
uh-huh.
all. Typical Chinese style. They married these men who came from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my grandfather matched them up.
Oh.
And he made sure that they were the same dialect. So spoke the same dialect.
Uh-huh.
And so all they really had was just a grocery
uh-huh.
store.
Uh-huh.
Just
yeah.
mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
Used, that's all.
I see. Now in your family. Your wife
mm-hmm.
is Chinese and she has an education.
Yes, my wife came from China,
uh-huh.
Nanking.
Uh-huh.
And her, my wife's side is, her great-grandfather was was the governor of what province is that now? He was the governor. He was the governor of the province of where Nanking is anyway. Qigong, I think. Qigong Song.
I see.
He was, you know, they took those examinations, and it was nominated by the king to be a governor.
Right.
So her family is not only well educated but well to do. And her father is a graduate of Princeton and Columbia with a doctor's degree.
I see. Then her father went back to China.
Yeah.
And then she came here also to attend university.
No, she came here when she's 15 years old.
Oh, I see.
And then my wife's uncle he was the Surgeon General on Formosa.
Oh, I see.
So and then he was a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army during the war.
Yeah. Now your side of the family then.
All peasants.
No. Honest peasants. Now, your side of the family, your mother married and had six children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did all six of you children have go on beyond high school?
Yes. Every one of us have a college degree, and half of us have our master's degree, and my sister is now about to get her doctor's degree.
I see. Now, so what kind of occupations, do you find among your brothers and sisters?
Well, my brother is the dean of, I forgot the name of the college, the community college down here in South Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dean of administration, the business end.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other brother is the director of purchasing in Abbey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally responsible for all purchasing throughout the United States for Abbey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a very high position.
Right. It's very important.
Yeah, then my sister is, she teaches school in the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And my other sister also is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest sister is an administrator in the Board of Education, and also she just finished her dissertation. So she's about ready to get her doctor's.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
Now, with your parents must have been very proud.
Oh yeah, they're always bragging about it to the neighbors. Because the main thing that made her proud really was because we came from a very poor background and somewhat shunted aside by the more well-to-do people, and she wanted us to, as children, to surpass the other people's children.
Which you have done. Now you married a Chinese girl. Now, how about your other brothers and sisters?
My everybody married Chinese, and however, my youngest brother married this girl that's Chinese, French, and Polynesian from Hawaii.
So all of you married Chinese girls.
Yeah.
Now, did your parents, have anything to say about it, whether or not?
They were very strong about us marrying Chinese.
They did tell you.
Oh yeah.
Then how do you feel about it?
I have no objections to it. In fact, I told my mother a long time ago, before I was married, that I'd marry whoever I choose. And if I brought him a black girl, well, that's just too bad.
What did your poor mother say?
Well, she
understood.
She knew we were all stubborn, and she had to know it because we got it from her, you see. And although during my high school days, there were a lot of people who were trying to match us up with their daughters. And my mother told him, she says, there's no use trying because no one could ever match up my children. They won't allow it.
Now, did your mother's side of the family then, you know, they all married Chinese.
No. No, they all married Chinese except for my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He married a Korean girl.
Uh-huh. I see.
And was totally ostracized by my grandmother.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Now, how did the rest of the family feel about that?
They didn't feel anything about it, but during the later years, my grandmother accepted her, but not totally.
I see.
And my grandparents didn't even want you to marry outside your dialect.
Oh.
They were pretty narrow-minded.
Uh-huh. So that went a step further then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then my uncle, who's a professor, he didn't want any of his children to marry out of the Chinese race.
Mm-hmm.
But he only has one that married Chinese.
How many children did he have?
He has six kids. I think it was six. I lost count, but it's, I think it's six. But... He's got a Japanese daughter-in-law, and he's got a Caucasian son-in-law, and a Chinese daughter-in-law, and let's see, Lucy married this Caucasian, and then he has a Caucasian daughter-in-law. So he wanted to keep his children, so he had to accept them. He had no choice. But it was good for him.
Now, does your family, you know, get together? You're between your, you know, your brothers and sisters and your cousins on your mother's side?
The family actually is pretty loose-knit. And we don't really have too many get-togethers. But our immediate family, my brothers and sisters, we all get together at least once every 3 months, something like that.
And
we have dinners together.
Potluck dinners?
Oh yeah, potluck.
Chinese dinners?
No, American style.
Well, you're borrowing on American theme anyway.
Right.
Well, I think that, you know, now, your side of the family then is still down here in Southern California.
Oh yes, we're scattered over in Los Angeles County, but we're down here.
Now, since most of you have still remained, you know, in the, say, the Chinese race part, does any of your family members take part in, say, Chinese group activities?
Not really. Not really. We're too far removed from them.
I see. So, but all of you have retained, you know, speaking your dialect.
Well, actually, I'm the only one that can really speak Chinese.
Why is that? The others were
young. I was always interested in knowing Chinese, and when we had the private teacher, I was the only one that absorbed it. And my youngest sister can hardly speak and can hardly understand Chinese, the youngest one. And my brother thinks he knows how to speak Chinese, but he's the most terrible Chinese one here. And so we have a tremendous communication problem with our father, because the younger ones can't really express themselves too well in Chinese.
And he speaks only the Zhongshan dialect.
Oh yeah, and he understands English too, and speaks English, but very bad English, and then with his hearing problem, plus his bad English, then the younger ones almost have, well, they have communications with him, but they have a hard time making him understand.
Well, I think those are all the questions, you know, that I have, and I certainly thank you again for your time. If I think of anything else, I'll come back.
Right? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
what happened?
Okay, let me just repeat. My parents live in a time when the Orientals had no respect for the Caucasian people, and the Caucasian people had no respect for the Orientals, and during that time, there were a few Caucasian people who managed to come into the Oriental people to gain a foothold, you might say, get some confidence among the Chinese people. But they were really...